due to the direction that I saw this show going this evening, thought I'd better get my business out of the way first and share with you song number 6 on my birthday survey. For the first time for this survey, here are the Oak Ridge Boys. The number 6 song for my birthday list this year, part of the name of their farewell tour, the Oak Ridge Boys with American Made. One of the four enjoys the game of baseball quite a bit, so much so that he's the owner of a team. Who would you say that is? I will tell you before I go to the first break, but before I get to the first break, I got a show to set up. After a very intense time when there's still discussion over the Royals now moving from Kauffman to, I really didn't want to say this, but downtown. I had promised you there would not be any talk about stadiums, and I will follow through on that. This is our annual baseball show here on the New Directions podcast, and what I do promise that we will do is go back to what made baseball such a big part of my life. Go through some of the songs that had been in the country field, some in the pop, and go through also some memories by way of the movies, of course, and basically put thoughts back in our minds that baseball really isn't that bad a sport. As much as people try to mess it up, it's still not. I have enjoyed this all my life, and I really, although I'm glad the Chiefs had won the Super Bowls that they have, I'm more of a baseball person. So this is going to be a little bit of me, I guess, that I share with you this time around. This is our annual baseball show here on the New Directions podcast, and we will get underway with it on the other side of this. Well, hold on. Before I do that, I had asked which one of the four Oak Ridge Boys was a baseball owner. The answer is the bass man, Richard Sturban. He is part owner of the Nashville Sounds, which is the AAA farm club of the Milwaukee Brewers. We will get underway with our baseball show on the other side of this break. When you look for places to eat, specifically fast food, you find yourself trying to decide between, for instance, hamburgers, chicken sandwiches, steak sandwiches, subs, for kind of a sub actually, and a few other odds and ends in between. What if I told you that there was a place that you can get almost all of what I just mentioned? Well, guess what, my friends? There is a place. This is Terry Runyon from the New Directions Podcast, here to tell you about Texas Tom's. This place has everything and everything big. They have cheeseburgers. They have Italian sausage. They have steak sandwiches. They have chicken sandwiches. I think I might have even seen fish, but I don't know. They have a lot of different sides, such as okra, mushrooms, my personal favorite, onion rings. That's just to name three. I had never eaten there before recently, and I'm coming on right now to recommend it highly. When you're in the neighborhood of a place like this, I hope that you're preparing to stop. Every possible thing that you could want is at Texas Tom's. The hamburgers, the chili dogs even. I forgot to mention the chili dogs. Chicken sandwiches, you name it, it's all there. And if you leave that place hungry, that is on you. Stop at Texas Tom's near you, and my friends, you will be very, very glad that you did. One of my favorite songs about baseball is one that John Fogerty recorded several years ago. I heard it play a lot at Kauffman, and I still hear it occasionally. Here is John Fogerty. We'll get it going here in about 30 seconds. And as they're getting ready, what I'm going to try to do as far as the baseball show for this year is concerned is play some of my favorite baseball music. And hopefully, yeah, we can do this. We're good. Get past that. 4, 3, 2, 1, and bye. With that in mind, here now, from Creighton's Clearwater Revival, Mr. John Fogerty with Center Field.
Beat the drum and hold.
My thanks to John Fogerty for kicking us off on the right foot with Center Field. Very, very good song. There was a new story that had worked its way to a website I didn't even know existed that talked about former Mariner designated hitter Edgar Martinez. This is from, let me get down to it here. Just a second. I didn't remember what I had it farther down on my page or farther up. I think it was farther up. We'll get you the web address here in a second. Here we go. It's from a sports newsletter. The newsletter is, just a second, Joker Magazine. But this is a story about a player who almost missed a chance at his dream. And I want to share this with you. How a 20-year-old factory worker with a lazy eye became an MLB legend. He almost lost hope in his baseball career. Between college classes and night shifts at an electric factory, his dream was fading fast. Then one opportunity changed his life forever. Edgar Martinez was born in New York City in 1963. After his parents got divorced, two-year-old Edgar went to Puerto Rico to live with his grandparents. As a child, he watched the Pittsburgh Pirates win the World Series, led by Puerto Rican legend Roberto Clemente. In his own words, Edgar was hooked on baseball after that. His grandfather bought him his first uniform, number 21 after Clemente, with his own name stitched on the back. Nothing could keep him away from baseball. Martinez played in the yard with his brother and cousins, hitting bottle caps with broomsticks to learn the game. When it would rain, Edgar would go outside and swing at the raindrops, his cousin said. And he would do it for hours. As he matured, Edgar didn't receive attention from pro scouts in Puerto Rico. They liked his glove, but felt he was too weak of a hitter. He also battled a lazy eye, which required extra training to make up for. He is basically one-eyed at times, an optometrist said later. Edgar would write numbers on tennis balls, have a friend feed them into a pitching machine, and try to identify the number as the ball sailed by him at home plate. After a few failed pro tryouts, he enrolled at a local university to prepare to enter the workforce. At that point, I sort of lost hope of signing. By age 20, Edgar's schedule was jam-packed. 6 to 10 p.m. college classes, 10 p.m. to 7 a.m. night shift at the General Electric factory. When he got home, he'd sleep a few hours and practice baseball for his weekend semi-pro league. One morning, Edgar arrived home from his night shift to his surprise. The GM of his semi-pro team stood in his driveway waiting for him. The Mariners are having a tryout, he told Edgar. Get ready, I'm going to take you there. So after an 8-hour night shift, Edgar hopped into the car for the 8 a.m. tryout. He remembers being so tired I couldn't swing the bat. Running on fumes, he flashed enough potential to get a chance. A few days later, the Seattle Mariners signed him for $4,000. In his first minor league season, Martinez hit 177. Battling culture shock, the adjustment took time. I could only speak a few words of English, just enough to order in a restaurant. But he kept working, learning English and getting more pro at bats, and he improved. Ultimately, Martinez didn't play his first full MLB season until age 27. Yet he managed to post eye-popping career numbers through his final season at 41 years old. 933 OPS, which I do not know what it means, 309 home runs, 1,261 RBIs. In an average season, Edgar hit 312 and drove in 99 runs. Fast forward to 2019, Edgar's 10th and final year on the Hall of Fame ballot. One last chance at baseball's highest honor. It started out as a normal day, Edgar told the Seattle Times. I tried to distract myself as much as possible. Then just before 6 p.m., his phone rang. In his final year of eligibility, and just as all hope appeared to be gone,
Edgar Martinez was elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Like everything else, he had to fight to earn it. It was the perfect metaphor for his career. Legendary broadcaster Dave Niehaus said it best. I've never heard anybody in any walk of life say anything ever halfway bad about Edgar Martinez. He had always had nice things to say about everyone, even in trying circumstances. He's a great human being. Congratulations, Edgar Martinez. Very much well deserved. Let us move on to some more baseball music, my friends. As we do so, I call in the boys from Fort Payne. Here are Randy, Jeff, Teddy, and I think Mark was still there at the time. We'll get this going here in just a little bit. Matter of fact, we'll do it in about 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 seconds. Here's Cheap Seats. I said, here's Cheap Seats. I had forgotten a part of this baseball show, a scene that really made a great deal to me, and I wanted to go ahead and go to that right now. There was a movie that had come out in early 2000 talking about the story of Jim Morris, who had played for a couple of years with the Tampa Bay Rays. The movie was picked up by Disney in 2000. Dennis Quaid played the part. I want to play a scene from there that was kind of a scene that really, well, made a dream come true that I think Jim really didn't expect. It's going to go ahead and buffer here for just a second. We have a lot to do tonight. Here we go.
You fly out of here tonight, you catch up with the team tomorrow.
Where?
Oh, they're on the road right now. In Texas.
He wanted it for a long time. In that scene, he finally got it. A dream coming true. A little boy was in a similar situation in this particular song. I'm going to leave it to Kenny Rogers to describe it for us. Here he is with the greatest. Just a second here.
Drinking warm water.
Just a second here. Hang on. We got 5 seconds to do this. Just a second. Actually, let's go to Bruce Springsteen and we'll end the segment with him. We didn't quite get it to work the way I was hoping it would. So, I first heard Bruce sing this particular song on David Letterman's last NBC show. Here comes the boss, and he's going to close our segment, this first segment out, with a little song called Glory Days. Just a moment here. I think we're there. Here we go. Just a second. They're back to it. Video for the song. Here we go.
I had a plan, was a big baseball player.
There really isn't any other sport than baseball that has its own real glory days. They're back to the baseball field to finish up this particular video. And he's still throwing strikes. Well, good old baseball. Nothing like it. On the other side of this break, the classic readings and the classic scene that we all know and love, and that made this game of baseball so popular even now. More of the special baseball show right after this. He's on a brand new tour. He's bringing a lot of guests with him. He's bringing a lot of number one hits with him as well. The date is Friday night, August the 23rd. He is coming to T-Mobile Center. His name is Dierks Bentley. There are limited seats available at the T-Mobile Center box office and also through Ticketmaster. Once again, Friday night, August the 23rd, T-Mobile Center, Kansas City, Missouri. Chase Rice will open at 7 o'clock, and then the man himself, Mr. Dierks Bentley. New tour. Be there. One of my favorite overall pitchers in Major League Baseball, and this is through all the years I've watched it, one of my favorite pitchers overall was a gentleman named Nolan Ryan. He had made his career pitching for, first of all, the Mets, later the Angels, and then he ended his career with the Astros and Rangers. And he was very old-fashioned, but had one of the fastest fastballs I've ever seen on television, especially. Never had the chance to see him live, anyway. I bring all this up about Nolan Ryan for this reason. Several years ago, when William Lee was not with the Oaks, Steve was, they recorded a song about Mr. Ryan himself. And this is a song that I've heard, surprisingly, folks, only once. This is about to be number two, and it's for this very special baseball show. Here are the Oak Ridge Boys, Steve singing lead, with the song about the Nolan Ryan Express. We'll get it going here in a little bit. Just a second here. We got 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. Lift off. Here we go. Here come the Oaks. Just a second here. Here we go again.
Talking about the Nolan Ryan Express.
Good old baseball season. You really can't go wrong with that. This poem was written by local sports writer Greg Hall. And with his permission, I had excerpts from that poem put at the end of my own book, Stadium of Royal Memories. But I like hearing this version the best because the broadcasting who's who do different words in this, and it puts you in a very good mood for the season when that happens. Without further ado, this is Baseball Is. Just a second here. Just a second.
How to open your car door.
Here we go back to it.
Baseball is grass, chalk, and dirt, displayed the same yet differently in every park that has ever heard the words, play ball. Baseball is a passion that bonds and divides all those who know it. Baseball is a pair of hands stained with newsprint. A set of eyes squinting to read a box score. A brow creased in an attempt to recreate a three-hour game from an inch square block of type.
Baseball is a hat I wear to mow the lawn. Baseball is a simple game of catch and a never-ending search for the perfect knuckleball. Baseball is Willie versus Mickey, Gibson versus Koufax, and Buddy Biancolana versus the odds. Baseball links Kansan and Missourian, American and Japanese, but most of all, father and son.
Baseball is the scent of spring, the unmistakable sound of a double down the line, and the face of a 10-year-old emerging from a pile of bodies with a worthless yet priceless foul ball. Baseball is a language of the very simple words that tell unbelievably magic tales. Baseball is three brothers in the same uniform on the same team for one brief summer, captured forever in a black and white photo on a table by the couch.
Baseball is a glove on a shelf, oiled and tightly wrapped, slumbering through the stark winter months. Baseball is some Elmer's glue, a couple of finishing nails, a hammer and black tape, lovingly applied in an attempt to coax a few more innings out of a splintered Louisville slugger. Baseball is the foreign sensation you get when placing your hand into somebody else's glove.
Baseball is Mark Sawatsky swiping his mom's Oxydol to chalk the lines for our neighborhood sandlot game of the week. Baseball is the smell of a freshly screen-printed jersey in the hands of an 11-year-old that just made the team. Baseball is the way generations compare themselves and their idols. Baseball is molding the bill of your cap to your own personal specifications.
Baseball is a brushed pocket bulging with a transistor radio. Baseball is the reason there are transistor radios. Baseball is a fifth grade history class huddled around Sister Irma and her Philco on a sunny October afternoon. Baseball is sitting in your car on a humid summer night, listening to play-by-play on the only radio that will pick up the game. Baseball is a voice in a box describing men you've never met, in a place you've never been, doing things you'll never have the chance to do.
Baseball is the potential for a no-hitter with every national anthem. Baseball is 90 feet of anticipation. Baseball is my dad hollering score updates upstairs after mom had long ago sent us to bed. Baseball is the acquired art of extending the life of a hardball with knots, tape, and spit until the round rubber center reveals itself and ends the day's game.
Baseball is a shoestring catch, a booted ground ball, even a cleat Boyer. But it's not a game for loafers. Baseball is the numbing sting of a fastball off the fist of a batter on a cold April night. Baseball is knowing when to run, when to stop, and when to slide.
Baseball is a thinking man's game that takes no brains to excel in. Baseball is a tear rolling down the cheek of a child in uniform as he watches a thunderstorm wash out the day's game. Baseball is a scribbled and blotched scorecard that can make 6-4-3 look like a ballet.
Baseball is fireworks at the ballpark every 4th of July. Baseball is experimenting with the grip of a ball in hopes of inventing a new and unhittable pitch. Baseball is pepper, three flies up, and home run derby played by kids in every schoolyard since before Babe Ruth.
Baseball is imitating every nuance of the stance of your favorite player. Baseball is determining who gets first ups by strangling the neck of a bat. Baseball is the anguish you feel when a Yankee gets traded to the Red Sox. Baseball is how I learned my geography. Baseball is the 4-inch-high trophy that I have never thrown away.
Baseball is taught by dads to sons in the hopes that the boy will master the game that the man did not. Baseball is a dream that you never really give up on. Baseball is precious. Baseball is timeless. Baseball is forever.
The last words were a part of, I'm sorry, said by is what I was trying to say, former Yankee public address announcer Bob Shepard, who I had read years ago, was a teacher, an English teacher. He had his proper English for sure. Now then, for the speech that truly, I think, says it all. This is from my favorite movie, Field of Dreams. Gonna get things going here just a second. Get it all set up. I think that there may be a game. I will update you later this show with what I find out in Dyersville this year, but we'll see. Let's see here. I found it. There we go. This, my friends, if you have never, ever seen the movie Field of Dreams, when you do see it, I think that you'll have a new appreciation for the game of baseball. And it's this particular speech that James Earl Jones originally shared with us in the movie that says it all. I want to quote it this year. His speech from Field of Dreams. Ray, people will come, Ray. They'll come to Iowa for reasons they can't even fathom. They'll turn up your driveway, not knowing for sure why they're doing it. They'll arrive at your door as innocent as children, longing for the past. Of course we won't mind if you look around, you'll say. It's only $20 per person. They'll pass over the money without even thinking about it, for it is money they have and peace they lack. And they'll walk out to the bleachers and sit in shirt sleeves on a perfect afternoon. They'll find they have reserved seats somewhere along one of the baselines, where they sat when they were children and cheered their heroes. And they'll watch the game, and it'll be as if they dipped themselves in magic waters. The memories will be so thick, they'll have to brush them away from their faces. People will come, Ray. The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time. This field, this game, it's a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good, and it could be again. Oh, people will come, Ray. People will most definitely
baseball.com. Dyersville, Iowa, in my view, is baseball heaven. And it's one of those places that gives you, I think, more of an understanding, or maybe perhaps even an appreciation of this little game called baseball. We started out the segment talking about a pitcher. Let's talk about one. And I'll kind of narrate as we go. Talk about the one thing that I personally like the best. The game winner. This is from the movie The Natural. Roy Hobbs is at the plate. Whether you've seen the movie or not, this is still a scene. A very classic one. Roy Hobbs, perhaps for one final time. He's ready with the pitch. The Pittsburgh player is ready with the pitch. And the crowd's behind Roy. Here's the pitch. There's a drive. Deep right field. The best part of the movie. That, my friends, is what you call having dreams come true. The home run, the game-winning home run, has a chance to really make the visit to the ballpark worthwhile and gives us a chance to stop and just relax and take the game in. Yes, it has its flaws. But ever since Texas won it all last year, it's been missed. Baseball, good to have you back. We'll close out this podcast next.
I'm William Lee Golden. If you ever wondered what was behind the beard, now you can find out, as I tell all in my new autobiography. I grew up in the cotton fields of South Alabama, but I dreamed of being at the top of the gospel music charts, and those dreams came true. Then I dreamed that the Oak Ridge Boys could make it in country music, and we did. My 50 years with the Oaks have been quite a ride. And it's all in my book. You can get your deluxe hardcover copy on Amazon or at WilliamLeeGoldenBook.com. And at WilliamLeeGoldenBook.com. www.baseballisgrass.com, you can also get an autographed copy. I'd love to sign one just for you. And I hope you enjoy reading about my life as much as I've enjoyed living it.
The next two podcasts are going to be bonus editions. We're going to take a break from the survey until next week's regular edition to do this. With this coming weekend being Easter, I thought it'd be good to revisit the story of Good Friday for the next podcast and Easter for the one after that. Combining music and Bible readings. The Bible readings I'll provide, the music will be provided from the normal spot. Kind of give us another approach to looking at one of the biggest weekends for those of us that are Christians. We'll be taking a look at, as I said, Good Friday next time out. And then the following one will be Easter. May this be a good Easter weekend for all of us from here on the New Directions podcast. Baseball, yes, it has its flaws. Football does too. But every time this time of the year comes up for baseball, there seems to be a hope springs eternal approach. This time, no exception. But it's also good to revisit why baseball has the biggest impact that it does. And hopefully the music we had this time around will help do just that. We have one more scene, and it's one of the most dramatic scenes that I've ever seen in Major League Baseball. And for movies, that is, in Major League Baseball. And we're going to go back to the original Field of Dreams to kind of relive that just a little bit. This is from my favorite movie of all time, which is Field of Dreams. Going to get to it as soon as I say. That's going to wind things up for this baseball edition of the New Directions podcast. Thank you for being with me as always. See you later this week as we remember Good Friday and Easter. Till then, the scene speaks for itself. As soon as it gets on.
He will come.
Just a second here.
This lighter.
You catch a good game.
Thank you. It's so beautiful here.
For me.
Well, for me, it's like a dream come true. Can I ask you something? Is this heaven?
It's Iowa.
Iowa?
Yeah.
So what was heaven?
Is there a heaven?
Place dreams come true.
Thank you, Mrs. Heaven.
Dad?
You want to have a catch?